You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com.
Are you a pastor who doesn't feel led to address politics in your church? Do shivers of fear run up your spineless back every time you consider teaching about liberty or the Constitution? Don't fret, you're not alone. In fact, most American pastors are just like you. But you do need to prepare for a period of adjustments in the near future. Soon, thanks to your dereliction of duty, freedom of religion will be gone and the church doors will be chained shut, leaving your sorry tail out of a job. That's why we've started the Prepper Recon Vocational School for Pastors. We'll train you to thrive in the post-church world of tomorrow in jobs like air duct installation. Having no backbone makes you a top candidate for moving around in tight spaces. Shoeshining is another option. Many boot-licking preachers find the transition remarkably fluid. Don't wait until the padlock is already on the door of your 501c3 house of worship. Call now and enroll today.
I've personally been buying gold and silver from JM Bullion for over 2 years. They offer the best prices over spot that I can find, and I've never had a problem with an order. If you're looking to trade in some of your fiat paper for real money, check out jmbullion.com today.
Hey, Preppers and Patriots. This is the recording of my recent interview on Patriot Radio with Washington State Representative Matt Shea. Enjoy the show.
Reintroduce you to Mark Goodwin, author, Days of Noah, Days of Elijah, and one other series we're going to be talking about a little bit later in the show, and also the host of Prepper Recon Podcast. Mark, thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio today.
Matt, it's so good to be back on. Thanks for having me.
Well, how have you been? It has been a little while.
I've been good. I've been busy, cranking the books out, keeping the podcast going. So that's two full-time jobs right there. But I'm preaching to the choir because you're a busy guy too. I know you got a lot of penguins on the iceberg.
Yeah, no kidding. It's kind of amazing, but you can only do it with the grace of God and your family. Amen. Yeah. Well, but what is your take on the election? Because I haven't had a chance to talk to you about it since the election happened. What is your take on the election and the trend, and where do you think this is all headed?
Well, you know, I think everybody that's familiar with the Prepper Recon podcast knows that Trump wasn't my first choice during the primaries, but he was a lot better than the criminal that we were facing there towards the end. And I was going to ask you about that because if California secedes, would Colombia still be the 51st state, or could they just step in and fill that void?
Yeah, we could end up just being the 50th, yeah.
And that would be so easy because pretty much everybody out there was going to leave the country anyway if Trump won. And I think it's a really good solution for everybody because there'd be no love lost here.
Well, you know, it's interesting. All these people said that, but we aren't seeing them leaving. Maybe we should start a donation campaign to, you know, buy bus tickets for all those folks, you know, celebrities down in Hollywood and stuff.
Absolutely. Venezuela, they've got great socialist politics, the same yeah. thing that these folks are looking for. It's a little rough down there right now because, in case you haven't heard, you know, they did ban the 100 Bolivar note. And on top of an already crippled economy, people are now – they're giving away their children. One of my regular listeners sent me an article today that showed people that are actually giving away their children. Robert Amy, he sends me great stuff all the time, so a big shout out to him. But it rather than see them starve to death and people are eating dogs and cats, which are pretty much – extinct about it at this point, and it's just it's absolute chaos there, and people are just dying left and right, and that's where socialism takes you.
It really is the end result of socialism, and we're seeing it in real time down there. And all these people said, "Oh, that had never happened in the United States." Look at Venezuela; has a huge, huge oil-based economy. It's not like they don't have the resources to fund things down there and to have a decent government and decent infrastructure. It's just socialism collapsing on itself like it always does.
Yeah, and now back to the election. I think, like I said, I think Trump's going to – he's going to be good in some ways. He's going to be much better than what the alternative was. I really like that he selected Scott Pruitt, the Oklahoma AG who sued the EPA multiple times. I like that he put him as the head of the Environmental Protection Agency. I think that's just poetic justice right there. And we need people who understand the corruption in these agencies to take them over. And I think I'd really like to see Cliven Bundy be appointed as director of the BLM. Now that's what I'd call draining the swamp.
I think that would send the liberals into apoplexy if that occurred. Well, where do you think everything in the world is headed? It looks like Trump's cabinet picks are signaling a drawing closer to Russia and an isolation of China. What is your perspective on where this is headed and where we're headed at in the world at large?
Trump's got a big if Obama thought he inherited a mess. You know, Trump's mess is much, much bigger because he's coming into office. We'll have $20 trillion in debt, which is doubled during the Obama administration. If he is able to pull us out of this tailspin, we're going to have to expect massive inflation because besides the $20 trillion in debt, Obama also doubled the money supply during his 8 years. So if we continue to see the market confidence that we've seen since the election, prices are going to really skyrocket. And I think that we'll see that in real estate and in stocks. And I think that we'll start to see it in automobiles and food prices and everything else. So, that's something, you know, hopefully he can really get the economy going and, he is a businessman, and we do need a businessman in that position. So that's one of the things I do like about him. But when we see all that confidence coming in, and we've got all of this money sitting on the sidelines, and it starts to flow back into the economy, and it's all competing for the same amount of goods and services, prices are going to go up, and so we got to be ready for that. And that's one of the things you got to think about when you're doing your long term planning. And especially even short-term planning over the next 4 to 8 years, I think that's something that we could really see.
So what is one of the best hedges against inflation? I mean, really, it's a hidden tax, but how do you think people can prepare for something like that? I'm not going to say it's a certainty, but it's getting toward a certainty.
Yeah, if you drop it on your foot and it hurts, that's probably a good investment. So a box of ammo, drop that on your foot. It hurts. If you drop a silver bar or a gold bar on your foot, it hurts. So those are good investments. Real estate, forget it. You drop a house on your foot, the foot's gone. But that's a great investment, I think, because people have to live somewhere. Farmable land, they're not making any more of that. And what there is of it, of course, Corns over at the BLM is trying to snap it up. So that's another reason I think we definitely need to get Trump to get him out of there. Whether it's Cliven Bundy or whoever takes over at the BLM, we've got to get Reid's little crony out of there.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, I really believe that they have to fire. If you really want to truly drain the swamp, drain that bureaucracy, you know, slash the budgets dramatically and fire 2 and 3 levels down. That's the only way I can see it turning around, because the bureaucrats really have institutionalized socialism.
Yeah, and we're starting to see a lot of the chickens coming home to roost around the world. We mentioned earlier about Venezuela banning the 100 Bolivar note. The same thing happened in India. They banned the 50 and 100 rupee note, which are basically about a $20 bill and a $10 bill, pretty close. And they didn't have the new currency printed in enough quantities to make up for the currency they pulled out. So it's absolutely collapsing in India. And of course, that's a billion people we're talking about right there that are already just living on the edge. And so their economy is collapsing. Australia's voiced their intentions to take out the $100 Australian bill as well. So they're a little bit more developed nation. I think that they'll probably have better systems in place to start pushing them more towards this cashless society, which I think that we're going to continue to see more and more of. Everything you look at in the news keeps trending closer and closer to the stuff that we see in the Book of Revelations. And, you know, for the folks that are pre-trib and you think you're going to be out of here before anything bad ever happens, you know what? I hope you're right. You know, and that's what I'm hoping for, and that's what I'm praying for. But I'm prepping for a mid-trib tribulation, and I'm also keeping in mind that even if it is a pre-trib rapture, you know, there's people in the Middle East that are suffering for their faith right now. There's people in America that are suffering for their faith right now, just not to the degree that they are in Syria and Afghanistan and Saudi Arabia and China and so many other places around the world where Christians are being killed in China. They sell the organs of Christians that are incarcerated for life, and they'll kill them and sell the organs to people that need an extra lung or a liver or kidney or whatever.
Well, Mark, in your book, you really bring up the issue of Christian persecution, and my response is, but it could never happen here. I mean, that's what you're gonna hear from a lot of folks out there. It would never happen here. There wouldn't be persecution in America. What is your response to that? What do you think's coming?
Well, Coach Joe doesn't think that, and Kim Davis doesn't think that. The folks that own Sweet Cakes Bakery that were sued out of business, they don't think it. The owners of the Wedding Chapel in Idaho, they don't think that. So there's less and less people that believe that fallacy, and more folks are coming around to the fact that, you know what? It's happening here. It's slow. It's not as bad as it is in the rest of the world, but it's coming, and it's coming fast. I can't remember the lady's name, Monifa something. She was the Marine that had the placard on her desk that said, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper," and she was court-martialed for that. So it's happening all through our society, through our military, through our government, and it's taken over. And we may have some brief respite under Trump. We may have, 4 to 8 years where we're able to take a breather, but we can't stop fighting. We got to keep pressing on, and we've got to make the most out of whatever little freedom we do get out of this 4 to 8 years, which may not be as much as a lot of folks think. I would definitely tell people to temper your faith there as far as what faith you're putting in Trump to be any type of a savior, because we've only got one of those.
Right. I think if we keep Jesus Christ at the center of our lives, he'll stay at the center of our country, at least at the center of regions of our country. But I want to kind of get into this really quick, because there are a lot of folks out there that, you know, say don't polish the rails on a sinking ship, don't get involved in politics, don't do that kind of stuff. And I had one pastor that I heard say, we're not on that ship. And, you know, the idea that we're going to somehow skate and not go through any sort of hard times, I've always found a little bit reprehensible, because I think it lulls people into complacency. What is your take on all that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that we're going to see hard times. I think we've seen hard times. I think we're going to see more of them. Even after the election, the left they're not backing down one iota. The liberal media, they're really, really pushing hard. While they did so much to influence the election and, in polling much higher numbers of Democrats than Republicans, which kept Hillary 5 to 10 points all the way through the election, they're still labeling the people that came out with the facts about what she was doing, about what her campaign manager Podesta was doing, their involvement with child molesters and witchcraft and all of this just horrid, evil stuff. And that's all labeled as fake news, while these people that were lying about the poll numbers and covering all of that stuff up, that miserable, horrible stuff that was coming out, they covered all that up and lied about the poll numbers, and they're the ones that are going to be in charge of labeling who's fake news and who's real news. So they're not stepping back, not even a little bit. So we can't do that either. We've got to just keep pressing on, and we've got to keep pressing forward, and don't spend too much time basking in victory.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Katie Armor offers affordable body armor, including level 3 trauma plates made of AR-500 steel. They can endure multiple rounds from pistols and rifles up to 7.62 NATO. Order today from katiearmor.com. That's CATIArmor.com.
Ready Made Resources is a trusted name in the prepper community because they've been around for 18 years. They offer great prices on night vision, water filtration, long-term storage food, solar energy components, and provide free technical service. Get ready for an uncertain future at readymaderesources.com.
Get prepared before disaster strikes. PrepperRecon.com offers Molly-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli daily battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, tough strip bandages, and so much more. Kits are available in OD Green, Coyote, Black, and ACU. $99 includes shipping. Go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.
I think that's just phenomenal advice, and that kind of brings us now to your latest book series. Now, you wrote Days of Noah, Days of Elijah, and they were series. I read them both. I have not read your latest series, Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt, obvious reference to scripture there. Explain to the listeners where that came from and why you think it's important for them to read it. And I got to tell you something, you've actually been a little prophetic in some of the things that you put in your books, and it probably scares you too when you actually read it and something happens in the news.
It does, and sometimes this stuff's happening while I'm writing it, and it is. It is a little odd sometimes. And that series, The Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt, is about a boy. He professes Christ. He turns his life over to Christ and immediately starts having prophetic dreams. And the dreams are similar to Pharaoh's dreams in that he sees the ugly cows and the gaunt cows he sees them blind, and he comes to understand through his girlfriend that also gets saved. And she gets the gift of interpretation. And so she's interpreting his dreams, and they figure out that this is a warning from God that there's an EMP coming. So they're not preppers or anything like that, and they don't have a lot of means, but they do what they can to start getting prepared right away to weather the storm that they know is coming. And through the grace of God, they're able to survive it, and they get to a remote location and form community out there and do the necessary things to survive the chaos that comes following this EMP attack.
Well, and this is the I have this feeling out there, like, you know, we are getting a reprieve right now, but all of a sudden it's just going to be like boom. And I talk to many. I mean, actually, I don't think I've talked to someone that does not agree that an EMP is one of the greatest threats to our country right now. Can you explain to the listeners why that is, and what an EMP is? Because there's a lot of, I think, misinformation out there about it, and I think a lot of times the media will poo-poo it as not really that big of a deal.
Yeah, and so most of my information I've gotten from Dr. Peter Pry, who's been on the Prepper Recon podcast several times, and he was the nuclear strategist for the CIA. So not just the average tinfoil hat YouTuber that thinks something bad might happen to us. This is a man that's served in the intelligence community for years. He currently serves on the Congressional EMP Commission. Which your government thinks this is a major concern. So it's certainly something that you should pay attention to. And one of his biggest concerns is that as we speak, North Korea has two satellites that are orbiting the Earth right now, and they're at just at such a place that if they had a nuclear warhead on them, that could be popped off over the East Coast and the West Coast and basically shut down the entire grid of the entire United States, some of Canada, and much of Mexico. And these satellites, which are supposed to be agricultural satellites, should be, if they're doing what the North Koreans say they're doing, they should be taking pictures of land and, you know, ice caps and things like that and mapping weather patterns. And they should be sending that data back to North Korea. Neither one of these satellites are putting out any information. So that means that they're dormant.
Well, that would be kind of
not working or not designed to send out a signal.
Well, if you could, the connection is a little rough right now, but could you mention again the scientist that you had on Prepper Recon podcast that talked about this issue as an expert?
Yeah, that was Dr. Peter Vincent Pry, and he was the nuclear strategist for the CIA, and he currently serves as the Congressional EMP Commission. He serves on that commission as the chairman.
Has the president been briefed on the fact these two North Korean satellites are up there and literally are not doing what they are up there if they were supposed to be agricultural satellites are doing? Have they been briefed on that? And why isn't anybody taking action if that's the case?
Yeah, absolutely. They are. And they don't want to take them down because they don't want to trigger an incident with China, or which is sort of North Korea's big brother. And they don't want to trigger World War III. But they're very, very aware of it, and the commission was commissioned by Congress, the EMP commission, and there's reports on how to survive it and what could be done to harden our grid, and there's all of this information that they're all aware of. It's just that they don't see it as a priority. Because it's one of those things, and I'm sure that as someone that's familiar with government as you are, you don't really get credit for preventing the fire. You get credit for putting fires out if you're in government.
Yeah, that's a really good point. If you know about this, because I'm sure you probably heard it from Dr. Pry, what can we do? First of all, what can we do to harden the grid? And secondly, does it really cost that much, and would it take that long to harden our grid against an EMP?
It costs around $2 billion to harden the entire grid of America against EMP, and which is about what we give Pakistan in foreign aid for a year. A nuclear-armed country that persecutes Christians and women.
Wow. And what would that entail, hardening the grid? Because I've heard a lot of different ideas behind that, but I understand that hydroelectricity in particular is actually very EMP resistant. It's just the control mechanisms and the substations that would have to be hardened. Kind of give us an idea of what hardening actually means.
Well, a lot of it has to do with the types of circuit breakers. In effect, is what they are that would keep the lines that run into power plants, to keep them from acting as antennas that pick up the EMP and channel it into the actual plants. And then there's other things that can be done that you can build Faraday cages around sensitive electronics that will shield them from electromagnetic pulses, and of course there's the threat from the sun. You know, we haven't had a Carrington class event for over 100 years. So and the last time we had one, you know, it fried telegraph lines, but we didn't have the sophisticated types of computers and electronics and automobiles with computers that we have now. So we don't really know what that type of event would do if we were to get hit by a solar flare of that magnitude.
And I think that that's, you know, that part of it, people don't understand. It could be man-made, but it also could be natural. And this has occurred before. This isn't something that, you know, is theoretical. It actually has occurred before. And I kind of want to shift gears just a little bit on that issue. You know, people that are our age, we kind of accept things. We've seen life. We've been, you know, in other countries, seen how the rest of the world lives, come back to America. Thank God we're Americans. And thank God that he's blessed us with such tremendous resources here. But we have another generation, the millennial generation, who just says, this is totally bunk. Things are going to continue the way they always have. What would be your message to the young people out there on issues like this and also on your latest book series?
Well, bad things always happen. And as you mentioned, anywhere you look around the world, you can see societies that were at one time great societies and are now are in complete shambles. And we don't have to look too far back in history to see great empires that have just completely collapsed for whatever reason. And it hasn't been an EMP attack because we've never had the type of vulnerability. We've never had the technology to commit the attack, and we haven't had the vulnerability to the attack prior to now. So we've never seen anything like that before, but we've seen so many other things that have absolutely devastated entire countries. It was the 90s when the Russian economy just completely blew up and people were starving and they had nothing and they went from being a superpower to being an afterthought. And that happens all the time. It happened to Rome. It happened to the Persians. It happened to the Greeks. It happened to, you could just go on and on with examples of people that thought they were completely untouchable and that nothing could ever happen to them. And it did. It just they got completely blindsided by something. And that was it. Their culture was toast. And most of the book of Isaiah, most of the book of Jeremiah and the minor prophets all to some degree speak to that, whether they're talking about Israel and God's judgment coming against them for their sins, or whether they're talking about Babylon or whatever culture it happens to be, that God said, you know what, your time's limited, and your day is coming, and your account's going to be reckoned, and when it does, you're not going to believe it, and it's going to just knock your socks off. And it's and you're talking about a third of the Bible that's just dedicated to that type of language of, and people think, oh, well, you're getting into replacement theology because we're not Israel, so you can't say that because God judged Israel like that, he was in covenant with them, and he was never in covenant with America. So it doesn't matter whether you think America is the new Israel or any of that, because the book of Isaiah talks about God's judgment against every single known culture that was around at the time. There's a judgment against Babylon, a judgment against Put, a judgment against Cush, against Egypt, and on and on and on, against Assyria. So there's not one nation that he doesn't judge in the book of Isaiah. Nahum is dedicated to the judgment of Nineveh. So that's the Assyrians. It doesn't even talk about Israel. So many of the books of the Bible, it's not, you don't have to be a replacement theologist to think that those types of judgments are applicable to America that we get from like Deuteronomy 28, where he says, you know, here are the rewards for obedience, and here are the curses for disobedience. The sky above you will be bronze. The earth beneath you will be brass. You know, your enemies will come at you from 10 directions, and, you know, you'll grow a vineyard and never drink the wine. You'll marry a wife and never have your honeymoon, basically. And it's right. horrible judgments in there for disobedience. And we've got the blood of 60 million children on our hands as a nation. And when you hear pastors that talk about polish, they don't want to polish the rails of a sinking ship, and they don't want to get involved into politics. That's politics right there. Those 60 million dead children. That's politics, because that's when Roe versus Wade was decided, This nation was 90% Christian at that time. 90% of Americans self-identified as being Christian. Obviously, there were some very nominal Christians, just as, you know, now we're 70% Christians, and they're probably even more nominal than that 90%. But we sat back on our laurels and did nothing and allowed this for decades now. And in the 60s, when the Bible was stripped out of the schools, we self-identified Americans 93% as Christians, and nothing changed. And here we are in 2016, the end of the Obama administration. Homosexual marriage is the law of the land. You're barely allowed to speak out against it anymore. We've done nothing to roll back the murder of all these children. We've done nothing to get prayer and the Bible back in the schools, which would be the only thing that could really save this nation. That's the only way to ever make America great again, is to turn back to God. And that's not happening.
Yeah. No, it's not. And it would be a huge change to the education system. We got 30 seconds left. If you could tell the folks, if they want to find out more information about you or buy some of your books, where can they go?
They can go to PrepperRecon.com, and at the very top of the page, right over the blog, I've got a free, you can sign up for a free copy of the 7-Step Survival Plan, which will walk you through getting prepared for the chaos that I know is coming down the pike. So it's free, and I just want to get people prepared, and it's the 7-Step Survival Plan. It's very comprehensive, and it'll walk you through everything in an easy, bite-sized steps.
Well, Mark Goodwin, thank you very much for joining me on Patriot Radio. I want to have you back on again sooner rather than later, my friend. I really appreciate your perspective, and keep up the great work with your Prepper Recon podcast as well.
Thanks again, Matt.
All right. Mark Goodwin, PrepperRecon.com, and you can go check out his books as well, Days of Noah series, Days of Elijah series, and also his latest series, Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt, reference to Scripture. And the idea, too, that hard times actually are the norm. Going through hard times is the norm. It's one of the reasons they don't preach the prosperity gospel in North Korea or Siberia or China, because it wouldn't work. Because hard times, suffering, should be expected for all Christians. But it's not something that we can't prepare for. We know it's coming. And he mentioned one individual, Dr. Pry. I'm going to try to get him on the show. I've been talking about his work for a while. I think it would be good for everybody to hear it from literally the horse's mouth about the threat to our country by EMPs. But anyway, Mark Goodwin doing a great job out there spreading the word, preparing Christians, and getting past this idea that things will continue the way they always have. Well, if that's the case, the way they always have been is there's been hard times, and we need to be ready for it.
In A Haunt for Jackals by best-selling author Mark Goodwin, Danny Walker's survival retreat has been devastated by violence since the detonation of the EMP. Regent Slusher's designs on absolute power have already brought him to Danny's doorstep once, leaving a trail of blood and heartbreak in his wake. Another conflict with a malicious dictator will spell certain death for the remaining members of the compound. Danny's only hope is to infiltrate Slusher's camp and bring him down from the inside. It's a risky proposition. If he is caught, he'll be executed as a spy, but there is no other alternative. In this epic struggle between good and evil, Danny's mettle will be tested, his faith will be tried, and he'll have to dig deep for the courage to continue. Buy your copy of A Haunt for Jackals, Book 3 of 7 Cows, Ugly and Gaunt, in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition from Amazon.com today.